I read this on the Psychology Today website. See if you agree. 23 ways to be happier. One of them is live your values. When you start to explore yourself and your values, you may discover that you've known all along what would make you happy, but you're just not doing it. To be happier, get clear on your values. Then you can live your life. You can't live your values if you don't know your values. At Deauville Christian Church, we have an affirmation of our faith each week, wherein we may repeat our values, coming directly from God's Word, this from the letter to the churches in Ephesus, commonly referred to as Ephesians chapter 2. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading from God's Word for today is from Mark's Gospel in the 7th chapter, verses 31 through 37, which finishes that chapter 7. When Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis, there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He's done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I came into my office on Monday morning. Last Monday, I planned to listen to some music on my computer. I had the program up and running. Here we go. But I didn't hear anything. Okay, check all the settings. The music program is running, but I don't hear anything. I checked the speakers. They are okay. They are on and should be working. So, what's wrong? I go into the computer settings and look up audio, run a troubleshooter. In the meantime, I check all the wiring. The troubleshooter program seems to be taking a while to run, so maybe it found something. Oh, it says try this. Okay. Then the computer said, "Hey, I came up with something to try." Okay, you give it a shot. See what happens. I go back to check the wiring. While I'm not looking, I hear a sound. A ring that comes up when I'm getting some notice on the computer. Oh, good, I have sound. Oh, but it says that I have to restart the computer. Okay. Sure enough, after what seemed like 15 minutes, which was probably 3, the computer is up and running and ready to play the song I wanted to hear. So why do I begin this sermon with this very personal experience last Monday morning in my office? Because it has everything to do with today's message. In the Bible report today, Jesus heals a man's hearing. So before Jesus healed the man could not hear. The Bible also says that the man had trouble speaking. Ask my wife, who is a speech therapist, and she says that the speech problem is common for the hearing impaired. Before I did troubleshooting on my computer, I could not hear the music on my computer. I told you last week that sometime in this season before Easter, we were going to talk about hearing God in prayer, because sometimes any one of us can have trouble hearing the Lord speak to us. It might not be a chronic or ongoing problem, just like my computer. I was hearing things just fine on my computer on Saturday and Sunday. Walk in Monday, nothing. Why? I don't know, but it got healed. I mean, fixed. For whatever reason, any one of us may have trouble hearing the Lord speak to us. And I'm not talking about answers to questions, but answers to specific prayers, prayers we might even know the answer to, like forgiveness, or for whatever reason, we have trouble hearing God's love. The real problem comes when we have trouble hearing for an entire season, not just a momentary thing, or one day, or even one week. For example, in my humble opinion, if a person does not attend worship, they might have trouble hearing the Lord the next week. Why? Well, maybe the Lord was speaking to them that Sunday worship service, and they missed it. They missed what the Lord was trying to say to them. They weren't in worship. The Lord will probably make several other attempts to tell that person, but that individual is less available through the week, less attentive. They do not have the context of worship for the Lord to share what the Lord wanted to share. No music, no songs, no hymns, no declaration of faith, no corporate prayer. They may not be focused enough during the week to hear what the Lord wants to tell them. But Jesus healed that man's hearing problem. The deaf do hear. I have another book on my shelf. The elders even used it for a study a couple of years back. The title of the book is Too Busy Not to Pray. Get it? Busyness isn't a reason to skip prayer. Busyness is a reason to make sure that you get to prayer. So it occurred to me that you and I can be too busy to hear the Lord speaking to us. The Lord is speaking, but we can't hear it. Too distracted. Too many sounds coming in to discern the Lord's voice in all the noise. You recall the prophet Elijah's experience in 1 Kings chapter 19? There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he told him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. The Lord is transmitting his messages. We have receivers, just like any radio, television, or wireless device. According to Gary Chapman, author and therapist, God transmits his messages of love on at least 5 different frequencies, one or two of which each of us readily picks up. But any of us can receive all 5 different frequencies if we tune to those frequencies. You may read about it in Gary Chapman's book, The 5 Love Languages of God. Now let us assume that you already know that God loves you, and you already know that you are forgiven. Why might you feel that those statements, which you have already agreed to being accurate and correct, why might you doubt them, or why might you feel that you are not getting the message? Let's remember my experience last Monday morning in the office. The signal was going out, and the signal was coming in, but something was not working in my computer software, so I could not hear the music. So notice, it wasn't that the source of the music was the problem. It wasn't that the transmission of the music was the problem. It was my computer. There was the problem. Something not right there. when it had been working just fine the day before. So if you feel that you are not hearing God's message that you know God sends, that you have previously received but now do not hear, you must look to yourself. Where is the problem with reception? You know that old joke about the kid in his beginning science lab? The boy first trained the frog to jump on command, and when the boy began to introduce changes in the frog to see the effect of each change, he would note them in his lab book. He first removed one leg and commanded the frog to jump, and the frog did jump, but not as far as when the frog was using four legs. The boy removed another leg. This time the frog jumped, but it was clear that the frog did not jump far at all. The boy removed the third leg. The frog moved, but could hardly be called a jump, sort of moved in a circle. The boy was writing all this down in the results table, and finally the boy removed the fourth leg and commanded the frog, jump, nothing. Jump, frog, jump, he yelled louder, nothing. The boy said, very interesting. The boy recorded in his results table, removed fourth leg, frog has become deaf. Friends, if we cut off all the ways that the Lord will speak to us, we cannot conclude that the Lord will not answer our prayers. Do I need to repeat that? Do I need to repeat the frog joke? We'll get back to hearing God speak to us in a moment. Let's look at Jesus healing a man who is deaf. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. This is the only report in all of the Gospels of a person healed of being deaf. I emphasize, as this report makes clear, the man suffered a medical condition, and Jesus applies medical healing, and the man is healed. There's a similar report in Mark's chapter 9, but there, in chapter 9, Jesus is casting out a demon from a boy that is described as a deaf and mute spirit. Here, everything Mark tells us wants to make clear that this is a healing of a medical condition. Even the details of the healing are preserved for us. Christian healers usually use this report as a textbook on how to heal. Physical manipulation, the use of saliva, prayer, and a declaration. We want to notice that the man could not hear. Jesus heals the problem of hearing. I suggest to you that you and I can have trouble hearing Jesus, and Jesus will help with that. I mentioned that prayer is not just talking or communicating. Prayer is also listening and hearing God's response. The problem is often us. The problem is often ourselves. We might be deaf. Jesus will deal with that. We can be deaf to God. We also might not hear the Lord because we are not paying attention. I've had more than one person remind me that the only thing we really have to do with regard to the Lord is pay attention. Then you can know what to do, how to do it, where to do it, when to do it. Pay attention. Sometimes we can't hear God because of our own expectations. That's one reason that we are told the prophet Elijah's experience in knowing God's presence and speech. I hope you all recall that report as it was read to you. God was not in the expected experiences of God. No thunder, No earthquake. No shouting. There was a quiet voice, maybe barely above the threshold to hear. You would have to focus to hear it. I enjoyed a television program from early this century entitled Joan of Arcadia. Get it? Joan of Arc. A woman who heard God and led her people to military victories. The program, Joan of Arcadia, ran for only two seasons, 2003 to 2005, for 45 episodes. That figures a television program that I like didn't go on very long. Joan of Arcadia was a high school student. In the television program, Joan of Arcadia, the Lord appeared as other people, but Joan would have to discern which person speaking to her was the Lord himself. Sometimes it was usually another high school student, not someone she knew or knew well. Sometimes they looked a little offbeat or eccentric, if high schoolers can appear eccentric. But sometimes the spokesman of God looked like everyone else, and the person did not begin their talk with, "Thus saith the Lord," or they never spoke King James English. But the television program made clear that God was trying to communicate with Joan, but she had to pay attention and discern what was being said. Now, you might ask, why doesn't God make it easy for us? But that's just the point. Maybe the Lord is making it easy for us. We are the ones who are making it difficult. Maybe we are the ones turning a deaf ear to the Lord. But before we start pointing blame, let's look at what we can do. And it might help that there are really only four or five answers to every prayer. Yes, no, maybe, not yet, and yes, but not what you expect or want. There's a prayer that I've kept close to me, often referred to as the Confederate Soldier's Prayer. I asked for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. I do not know the source of this prayer, but it is the confession of a man whose prayers were indeed answered, but not in the way he expected or wanted. So your prayers, maybe already, have been answered, but not as you expected. How else might we listen for the Lord's answer? My own experience includes the Lord speaking to me through dreams, and gives insights at 4 a.m. as I go to the bathroom. I used to receive messages and insights or answers in the shower. That made sense. Everything's cut off from me except the routine of a shower, so my brain's not very engaged in what's going on. Stuff flies into my head. I've heard other people say words and phrases that just jumped out at me as an answer to prayer. I've sat here in worship and had words of hymns jump off the page. Once when I was buying a used car, I was trying to decide between two vehicles that I kind of liked. My salesman had gone to get another vehicle to show to me, and I turned around. He was easing it into my presence. I immediately didn't like it, but I discerned that this is the vehicle I should get. That vehicle went through three of my children, teenagers. By the way, they didn't like the car either. They called it an old lady's car. And in truth, that's exactly what it was. An old lady had owned it. It had low miles, good maintenance, long life. I bought it in 2004, and it was a 1997 automobile. So notice that very few answers to my prayers, in my experience, have come at prayer time. Although I have been given insights during prayer time, since I've been discerning the Lord's voice for many years, it does become easier to recognize when the Lord is showing me something or giving me something. And at 4 a.m., I find it difficult to put up an argument. Once I received an entire sermon in three words at 4 a.m. But I don't want to bore you with my stories. Let's take a simple example. I've given you crazy examples from my own life. But the reason I share them is that I don't require the Lord to make his communications be in words only or in the office only or while I am dressed or when I feel ready. Understand? So here is a real life example of having trouble hearing. We have not always had good sound amplification here in Daleville Christian Church's sanctuary. There was a time years ago when the sound amplification was very poor. Indeed, we go back far enough, it was non-existent. So imagine you were one of the people who had hearing aids and forgot to wear them one Sunday. Did those same people expect to hear the service? Well, strangely, yes, they did. If they forgot their hearing aids, did they sit closer to the front of the sanctuary that day? No, they didn't. If they were having trouble hearing, they wanted me or the spiritual support team or the church council to do something about it. Really? This is your problem and you have solutions you can use or try and you want someone else to do it? And yet this is how some people come to the Lord in prayer. Some people don't just want an answer to prayer. They want the answer to prayers between 9 and 5. They want their answers obvious. Written is better than speech. Complete sentences. No pictures. And if I'm having any trouble seeing and hearing, please turn up the volume. Oh, and don't do anything scary like thunder or fire. Friends, nothing I have read in the Bible, and I've read the Bible several times, nothing I have read in the Bible even suggests that our God restricts his communications in this way. Sometimes the Lord just shows up and starts talking. Burning bushes, columns of smoke, or fire. Or none of that, and a still, small voice. Did you notice that Elijah did not ask the Lord to speak louder when he heard the still small voice? Answers to prayer. Remember to ask, seek, knock. Charles Stanley has a book entitled How to Listen to God. I recommend it. It's in our church library. I have a copy I can loan you. Stanley also says that we are often the ones in the way of hearing the Lord. He lists 10 things that keep us deaf. Jesus healed those who were deaf. Jesus can help us to hear him. We worship a God who sent his Son to make the deaf to hear. Psalm 81, the Lord says, "Hear, O my people, O Israel, if you will listen to me." Amen.